For those of you who don't know me, my name is David Lushenia. I'm one of the elders of Living Hope Church. The text for today is Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. We need each other. God does not intend or expect us to make a go of it by ourselves. Genesis 2:28 says, "Then the Lord God said, 'It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper who is just right for him.'" At the beginning of history, God made sure that man was not by himself. He created a woman who would be with him for companionship and to help him do his work. Much later, when Jesus was here on earth, he spent most of his time with either Peter, James, and John, or with 12 disciples. He spent very little time alone. And when he was alone, he was talking to his Father. So he never was truly alone. Luke 6:12 is an example of this. "One day Jesus went up to a mountain to pray, and he prayed to God all night." Another example of his getting away to spend time with his Father was after he fed 5,000 men, plus many more women and children. Matthew says, "Jesus insisted that his disciples get back into the boat and cross to the other side of the lake, while he sent the people home. After sending them home, he went up into the hills by himself to pray." Matthew 14:22 and 23. Jesus did not spend his time on earth by himself, and he did not intend for his followers to be loners. In Matthew 16, Jesus told his disciples that he was going to establish his church. The church is made up of people who are drawn together by their commitment to Jesus. Anyone who has faith in the resurrection of Jesus and has been born again is part of his church. The church, by definition, is a group of people. The description of the Holy Spirit coming to the assembled believers on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2 is generally considered the beginning of the church. The last part of Acts chapter 2 describes how the early church functioned. "And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved." From this, it is clear that followers of Jesus Christ do life together. It is also clear that the church, or portions of the church, come together more than one time a week. We don't have to look any further than our own church to see this. We gather as one large group on Sundays. Smaller groups gather throughout the week for different purposes. Some groups do Bible study. Some groups pray together. Some groups do different ministries together during the week. Sometimes we come together for specific projects. One example of this is the work day held in October to take care of the various needs in the sanctuary and around the church building. What is it that compels the church to be together whenever we can? The answer is love for God and love for one another. Numerous Bible passages encourage us, the church, in this love. This is what the Apostle Peter said about the church. You were cleansed from your sins when you obeyed the truth, so now you must show sincere love to each other as brothers and sisters. Love each other deeply with all your heart. 1 Peter 1:22. The Apostle Paul in Romans 12:10 says, love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. The Apostle John says, dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. 1 John 4:11. Later, he says it again. We love each other because he loved us first. 1 John 4:19. This brings us to the first point in our text today. The writer to the Hebrews goes beyond urging us to love each other. Listen to what he says. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. The King James Version says this in a way that may make us uncomfortable. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. Another version says, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. J.B. Phillips' paraphrase says, let us think of one another and how we can encourage one another to love and do good deeds. The New English Bible says we ought to see how each of us may best arouse others to love and active goodness. Each of these translations acknowledges that all of us are to love one another. Each one goes beyond this truth. These translations suggest that we are responsible for more than loving each other. We are responsible for encouraging our brothers and sisters in Christ to love each other. We are to consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. This can't be, you say. It goes too far. Why should I have to think of ways to get my brother or sister to love and do good? The short answer is that Jesus commands us to love each other. Not only that, he says that love for each other proves to the world that we are his disciples. Listen to what Jesus said. So now I am giving you a new commandment. Love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. John 13:34 and 35. This love shows people around us that we belong to God. Our love for others in the church is what draws people to God. So, first we are to love each other. Next, we are to consider how to stimulate one another to acts of love and good works. This is how we grow in our relationship with God and with each other. And this is how the church grows. Look at the last sentence of Acts 2. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. Does it bother you that there are so many unfilled chairs in this room? Do you wish more people attended our services? Do you wonder how we can grow our church? Then consider how you can motivate your brothers and sisters here to acts of love and good works. This will take a little effort and some of your time. Here are my suggestions. First, set aside some time either today or this week to think about this. You will need your church directory and something to write with and write on. If you're an old fogey like me, that means a pen and paper. If you're more with it, it may mean some kind of electronic device. Go to some quiet place where you will not be interrupted. Ask God to quiet your heart and direct your thoughts. Look through the church directory, waiting for God to show you the person or persons He wants you to focus on. Thank Him when He has shown you that person. Think about that person and ask God how you can encourage him or her to love and good deeds. Write down what you believe God has helped you decide about how to motivate that person to love and good works. Thank God for giving you what He wants you to do. Choose a time to connect with that person. In this time of physical separation, it may not be as easy as asking someone to go for coffee. You may need to text or email or use the phone. But some way, connect with that person. Go to that person and encourage him or her to acts of love and good works, what God has told you to do. As Living Hope Church, first, we are to love one another. Then we are to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. The second point in today's text is not neglecting to meet together. Unfortunately, there are people in the church who think that meeting together is an option, not a necessity. And this is not something new. The writer to the Hebrews said, "Not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some." There were people in the early church who were in the habit of not meeting together with the rest of the church. It's pretty safe to say that these people were not staying home to keep physical separation during a pandemic. Maybe someone missed church because he worked hard all week and he felt he deserved to sleep in. After all, He'd been meeting deadlines all week, and getting to the Sunday worship service was just another deadline he had to make. Or is someone coming into town you haven't seen in a while, and Sunday is the only day available to see this person? When someone who is a part of the church is in the habit of not meeting with the church, I begin to question his or her priorities. Don't get me wrong. I'm not talking about the person who meets with the rest of the church 9 Sundays out of 10. The 10th Sunday comes and he can't make it for one reason or another. I know people who are part of our church who can't come unless someone gives them a ride. I'm talking about, and I believe the writer to the Hebrews is talking about, people who do not think meeting together with others of the church is essential. These people are not convinced that we need each other, but we do. Together, we praise and worship God our Father, Jesus his Son, and the Holy Spirit. Together, we share stories of God's goodness. Together, we pray for God's healing, his guidance, his protection. Together, we pray for each other. When Peter was put in prison, a number of people prayed for him. Listen to what happened. This is recorded by Luke in Acts chapter 12. The night before Peter was to be placed on trial, he was asleep, fastened with 2 chains between 2 soldiers. Others stood guard at the prison gate. Suddenly, there was a bright light in the cell, and an angel of the Lord stood before Peter. The angel struck him on the side to awaken him and said, "Quick, get up!" And the chains fell off his wrists. Then the angel told him, "Get dressed and put on your sandals." And he did. "Now put on your coat and follow me," the angel ordered. So Peter left his cell, following the angel. But all the time, he thought it was a vision. He didn't realize it was actually happening. They passed the first and second guard posts and came to the iron gate leading to the city. And this opened for them all by itself. So they passed through and started walking down the street. And then the angel suddenly left him. Peter finally came to his senses. "It's really true," he said. "The Lord has sent his angel and saved me from Herod and from what the Jewish leaders had planned to do to me." When he realized this, he went to the home of Mary, the mother of John Mark, where many were gathered for prayer. He knocked at the door in the gate, and a servant girl named Rhoda came to open it. When she recognized Peter's voice, she was so overjoyed that instead of opening the door, she ran back inside and told everyone, "Peter is standing at the door." "You're out of your mind," they said. When she insisted, they decided it must be his angel. Meanwhile, Peter continued knocking. When they finally opened the door and saw him, they were amazed. Acts 12, 6 through 16. This is what can happen when God's church meets together. You can't make this stuff up. So, we need to think of ways to motivate one another to love and good works. And we need to be committed to meet together regularly. Thirdly, we need to encourage one another. This is another reminder that we need each other. When life isn't going the way we'd like, it's easy when we're by ourselves to throw a pity party. This is especially the time we need other people, preferably other brothers and sisters in Christ. An example is found in Acts 14. Paul and Barnabas have been traveling in Asia. After preaching the good news in Derbe and making many disciples, Paul and Barnabas returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch of Pisidia, where they strengthened the believers. They encouraged them to continue in the faith, reminding them that we must suffer many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. Acts 14, 21 and 22. We don't know what hardships Paul and Barnabas are referring to, but Jesus told his disciples that as his followers, they could expect trouble. During the Last Supper, he told them this: "If the world hates you, remember that it hated me first. The world would love you as one of its own if you belong to it, but you are no longer part of the world. I chose you to come out of the world, so it hates you." John 15, 18 and 19. Whatever these hardships the new Christians are enduring, Paul and Barnabas are there to encourage them not to give up. Early in the history of the church, something else was happening that discouraged new non-Jewish believers. Some Jewish believers were requiring Gentiles who had become Christians to be circumcised and follow the law of Moses. The Jerusalem church held a meeting to decide what to do about this. Peter spoke against this requirement, and Paul and Barnabas told the group about the work God was doing among the Gentiles. The Jerusalem church agreed that the Gentile believers should not be required to follow the law of Moses. Judas and Silas took a letter from the Jerusalem church to Antioch of Syria. The letter stated that the only requirements the apostles and elders were placing on the Gentile Christians were these: you must abstain from eating food offered to idols, from consuming blood or the meat of strangled animals, and from sexual immorality. Acts 15:29. When the letter was read to the Antioch church, Luke records this response: "And there was great joy throughout the church that day as they read this encouraging message." Acts 15:31. In addition to this good news from the Jerusalem church, Judas and Silas, both being prophets, spoke at length to the believers, encouraging and strengthening their faith. Acts 15:32. This is an example of the leaders of one church encouraging another church. One of the greatest causes of discouragement is the lack of hope. Without hope, we are only one step from despair. Paul, Silas, and Timothy, in their first letter to the church in Thessalonica, remind the believers in that city of the reason they have for hope. And now, dear brothers and sisters, we want you to know what will happen to the believers who have died, so you will not grieve like people who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and was raised to life again, we also believe that when Jesus returns, God will bring back with him the believers who have died. We tell you this directly from the Lord. We who are still living when the Lord returns will not meet him ahead of those who have died. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with a trumpet call of God. First, the believers who have died will rise from their graves. Then, together with them, we who are still alive and remain on the earth will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Then we will be with the Lord forever. So encourage each other with these words. 1 Thessalonians 4:13-18. What greater hope do we have than that we will be reunited with believers who have died, that all of us will be taken up to be with our Lord forever? And I do not believe there is a greater way to encourage one another than to remind each other of this truth. Paul, Silas, and Timothy repeat the good news near the close of their first letter to the church at Thessalonica. This is one of the best ways I know of for us to encourage each other. Listen carefully. For God chose to save us through our Lord Jesus Christ, not to pour out his anger on us. Christ died for us, so that whether we are dead or alive when he returns, we can live with him forever. So encourage each other and build each other up, just as you are already doing. 1 Thessalonians 5:9-11. In his letter to the Romans, Paul summarizes one of the basic reasons the church meets regularly. This is what he says near the beginning of his letter. When we get together, I want to encourage you in your faith, but I also want to be encouraged by yours. Romans 1:12. We need each other. God established the church because he knew we can't do life alone. We need each other so we can love each other, so we can stimulate one another to love and good deeds. We need to get together regularly and frequently so we can encourage each other in our faith, and so we can be encouraged by one another's faith. If we embrace these truths and seek to live by them, we will learn what it means to be a part of the family of God. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you his peace.